World leaders have arrived for the G20 summit in the Japanese city of Osaka, with trade and security issues expected to top the agenda. The U.S. and China have reportedly reached a tentative truce in their trade dispute before the two sides' leaders meet on Saturday. The U.S. President Donald Trump said on Wednesday that a trade deal with China is possible. The Kremlin said Russian President Vladimir Putin and Trump will discuss arms control, Iran and Syria. Before leaving for Japan, the German Chancellor Angela Merkel downplayed suggestions that talks at the summit could play a major role in resolving conflicts. And the French President Emmanuel Macron said that his country wants the G20 to issue a statement on climate change and considers the issue a, quote, red line. Let's talk about the G20 summit a little bit here. Ryan Dawson is an author and political activist who joins us. Ryan Dawson, we look at G20 summits, that's supposed to be 20 of the world leading figures to attend this in terms of the rank of their countries. But looking at the report card, doesn't look like the world is doing that greatly when you think about some of the things that are going on. And of course, the arrival of the U.S. President Donald Trump, he has contributed to much of this disorder that is happening now, according to many. How do you see the G20 summit?
Of course, like you said, Trump has contributed to the disarray mainly because of removing the waivers that allowed his Asian allies and Europeans to continue to purchase oil and gas from Iran. This has thrown a real monkey wrench into everything, and so they do need to discuss Syria, and now they have to discuss Iran as well. They're going to be discussing the trade war with China, and almost all of these things have a common cause: Donald Trump.
Does the fact that they get together to try to figure out the world economy mean that they are going to pressure Trump? Because the world economy, based on IMF Chief Christine Lagarde, is going to contract. And one of the major contributors to that is this U.S.-China trade war, which is said to be one of the focal points of this conference. Is Trump going to come under pressure, and does he care if he does?
Trump cares about his own legacy, and he thinks that he can put enough bully tactics on China to get them to capitulate. But putting tariffs on China has just resulted on tariffs in the United States. It's hurt the living standards and businesses in both countries. But there's too much machismo in the air, and neither one looks like they want to back down. It would be the right thing. The government shouldn't be in the job of picking winners and losers in the marketplace in the first place. That always leads to disaster. Tariffs aren't helping China or the United States, but they need a face-saving measure in order to get out of it. That's why they need third parties to come in to kind of save face for both Xi Jinping and Donald Trump and give them the wiggle room to back out of the hole they already dug themselves into.
And finally, quickly, when we take a look at previously North Korea and now Iran, we have heard from Donald Trump's mouth the word obliteration. He said that about North Korea, and he just recently, in the past couple of days, did make that statement towards Iran. Does he realize that those types of statements threaten the world order? And, of course, I would think that at this G20 summit, some of those figures should be concerned about the posturing that Donald Trump has made.
It is very irresponsible language, but it's also President Donald Trump, and he always speaks with that New York hyperbole. It doesn't translate very well. But the great thing about not having any credibility was he did say he would obliterate North Korea, and then a few months later he wants to make peace and have deals and says we're going to make you very rich, etc. So he's all over the map. That's why his threats are pretty hollow. You know, you take it with a grain of salt. With Iran, I am worried because the Israelis and the United States made a working group back in 2017, which met last April to go over plans of how to escalate tensions with Iran. And we've seen this 8-point plan, five of the points already play out. We had shooting up a military parade. We had, of course, the bombings in the Strait of Hormuz on the boats. We had a drone that was flown into Iranian airspace, which got the appropriate response and was shot down. There's been support for MEK and Arab separatists to cause tensions within Iran. And there's three more points left. And the next one is a bad one. It's talking about a tactical strike to dismantle Iran's capacity to enrich uranium. Now, Iran isn't enriching uranium to levels for nuclear weapons. That's just rhetoric. But it would cause a response from Iran were that to happen. It would not be contained like blowing up radar in Iraq, which Clinton's and the Bushes did. This would spill over, and you've got America is sitting duck naval fleet in Bahrain. They've got their Air Force base in Qatar, but the weakest underbelly is Saudi oil fields, which Iran could target and throw the entire globe into global crisis. So Trump, Bolton, and Pompeo need to be very careful with their language and not follow this 8-point plan that the Israelis have laid on the table for instigating war with Iran.
Thank you very much for that, Ryan Dawson. We appreciate it. Ryan Dawson there from Osaka.